friends, welcome and blessings. Welcome to Freedom Flame Radio. I'm your host, Eve Kerr, and it's just me this week. And I would like to welcome you, and I would like to first thank all my listeners, all of our listeners. You're so wonderful, and we are all so grateful for you. And I thank you so much for all the feedback. You've been sending in so much wonderful, encouraging support. And I've been able to actually get that feedback posted thanks to Doug. Thank you, Doug, on BBS for posting that feedback on the page, which is now available. You can go see all those warm, wonderful, encouraging comments. I love your support, and I thank you so much. And I know Anthony loves your support, too, and he's very grateful as well. So, and I want to thank Don, Doug, and Deborah on BBS. They are so wonderful and encouraging and so helpful. And so efficient, and we were just chuckling a moment ago. We were trying to actually keep up with technology. It actually feels like we're starting to surpass the technology. One of my cute little words is technology, and it just really feels lately that we're surpassing it in consciousness, and it's almost like the technology can't keep up with us and our consciousness, which is raising so greatly. And I think that's a great sign to kind of view it that way. Anyway, we have a great lineup for today. I have an Ascended Master Showcase for you. It's called The Heart of a Master, The Heart of a Chela. And this is something that Saint Germain has been nudging me to do for a while. And it's really important that that everyone kind of feels into this. So in the first place, they talk about and he had me take some notes from volume 4 of Ascended Master, the I Am Discourses, which is called Ascended Master Instruction. And the discourse is, it's from page 220 to 222. If you have the book, you're welcome to go ahead and take a look at it. But he wanted me to quote just this brief excerpt. It's just three paragraphs, and we're going to begin here. As this work goes forward, we wish each individual to feel his or her part in the great victorious activity, that they are as important to the working out of things in the universe as the petals of a rose are to its beauty. There is a constant opportunity for those who have a joyous attitude toward this effort to be channels of outpouring of this mighty radiation. The student who is sincere and is with great intensity reaching out to the light need never worry about making direct contact with the Ascended Masters. For it is not the student alone who seeks the master, but truly the master who seeks the student. Because there is always great need of messengers of the great host of light who are staunch, trustworthy, and willing to serve. Such may never doubt for one moment their eventual contact with the visible presence of that great ascended host, not only with one, but many. We have no desire to intrude this work, which we know to be a mighty truth, upon anyone, and anyone who cannot feel within the heart the truth that we give forth to strengthen and cast out doubt and fear, should either wait or seek other channels with which they can feel perfect accord and harmony. And this is really important, this excerpt here, because, and even when I saw it myself for the first time, it was a revelation to me. And it's the part where it says, for it is not the student alone who seeks the master, but truly the master who seeks the student. Because there is always a great need of messengers of the great host of light, who are staunch, trustworthy, and willing to serve. And there's a topic on this that G would like me to bring some clarity to. And it's the issue of the Ascended Masters and the idea that they have a personality. They seem to have that is actually a potential to intimidate potential students on the path. For they fear that they will cause the master disappointment, or that they will be judged by the master, that the master is sitting there scrutinizing every little thing that the student is doing. This is not only an incorrect perception about the masters, but it is also likening God to be somewhere other than right here. The very flame of God life in our hearts and up there or out there somewhere, sitting on a judge's bench, judging everything going on and writing out the punishment list because this one didn't do this or that and so on. And as such, nothing could be further from the truth. The ascended masters do not have what is considered to be an outer personality, as they have conquered their human self or outer self or personality, and they are perfected beings. A perfected being does not make mistakes. They only express the divine qualities of God, and judgment is not one of those qualities. There's a difference between judgment and discernment, and discernment is what they use when making decisions. They are always fair in the use of divine justice and only encourage the student to become more aware of his or her very own beloved mighty I Am presence. This is one of the main objectives of the Ascended Masters, by the way, to get you in alignment with your own presence, that you may make your ascension in this lifetime or this embodiment, however you wish to look at it. In establishing contact with an Ascended Master, G wanted me to point it out. And by the way, for those of you who don't know who I'm talking about when I say G, I mean Saint Germain. That's his, my nickname for him. And it's an interesting little story that I can go into later because I have some experiences, personal experiences on my communion with him and how we relate to each other. And I'm going to share that in a little bit, but I just wanted to clarify that. So when I say G, it means Saint Germain. So he wanted me to share that it's most helpful, and it's been most helpful also in my experience too, to have an image of the master, angel or cosmic being with whom you most resonate, for this likeness of themselves within their consciousness creates a synergy that enables the radiation to multiply between holding the image in the mind's eye or third eye and initiating the connection in consciousness, which is their consciousness you are contacting. This results in expanded awareness, which is also known as illumination. The light comes in and reveals itself, which results in wisdom. It is the wise dominion of God's mind that is pure truth, and progressive revelation ensues. There is also what G calls mind movies, in that what you pay attention to grows. You allow the story to be created by simply giving your attention to it. And this is how the imagination, the image in action, works. By holding the image of an ascended master and connecting in consciousness with them, you will bring illumination to the mind and receive the truth and step fully out of the drama that seemed to be there before. And there's more to this as well. Do you know that you are the director of whatever movie is playing in your mind? You can direct the energy where you wish it to go, but first you must direct your attention to what is constructive desire. And there's an excerpt from Volume 4, which he would like me to share with you on this. And it is, one of the great stumbling blocks in the way of many earnest students is the inclination to go to mediums instead of looking to the mighty I Am presence, the all-wise God above, within, and around themselves. And so what he wants me to point toward is that they're always trying to redirect our attention to our very own God self and not look outside of ourselves to do so. And in doing so, we become more aligned with what our divine plan is, with what our individualized God flame is trying to produce through our energy vehicles, which is our four lower bodies, our emotional, physical, mental, spiritual. And this is, the presence utilizes these vehicles to produce in the material realm what is considered as perfection. And perfection, and I addressed this issue last week, I think it was last week, but we talked about perfection a little bit, and perfection basically means that perfection does not contain mistakes. Perfection is available in the material realm, and it is possible to perfect things, and perfection does exist in the material realm. But basically, when the student becomes acquainted with his presence and moves along the path, he finds that as he is consistent in his application, he will start to notice that he is actually, that things become fluid, more timeless, and more in the flow, and tasks become easier. And the reason for this is because they contain less mistakes. And this is one of the ways to notice that your life is starting to take the form of grace. And grace also contains the quality of perfection. So there is perfect grace. And if you notice yourself in the flow, perfectly moving forward gracefully, and no matter what energy you may be experiencing or no matter what may be appearing in your life, if you are in grace and you are reminding yourself consistently that there's only your God self in action, that there's only God in action, and that God is love, it's an action of love, then it can quickly bring you back to a peaceful state of being. And you can continuously move forward and continue producing whatever it is that you're doing in your life without making these mistakes. So this is one way to see how you outpicture perfection is to you just witness yourself flowing in grace, and there are, and things move forward more easily because there's less mistakes. You don't take time to think about things too much anymore. Things become very simple, and it's like you have this awareness where you already understand things that, you know, you didn't need the manual to figure out. Maybe it's a new cell phone and you knew how to turn it on automatically, and or maybe it's some other gadget, maybe it's some recipe that, you know, you forgot, but then all of a sudden you didn't even need the recipe because you remembered how to do it. It's all these things, you know, these little things show up, and it's a way that our presence says, well, yeah, you're giving me the attention, so I'm in charge, and there's this cohesive activity happening between your outer self and your divine self. And this really anchors your Christ consciousness. It really brings it to the forefront. So moving along, I wanted to share that I've noticed this in my own experience, moving along and the grace. And sometimes, and G's pointing out to me that a lot of times we're moving so fast, we even forget to notice the grace. Because as things get easier and more simple, we tend to go a little faster, and we tend to go, wow, I'm accomplishing a lot, and I want to keep going, and this and that. And this is leading me up to my experiences, some of my experiences with G as well, and my work on the path. And so he wants to remind everyone to, you know, stop and notice the grace. Notice the grace in your life. And if you haven't noticed it lately, take some time, maybe today, just take a few minutes and go into the silent meditation and ask your presence to show you your most recent moments or moment of grace and what that looks like for you and how maybe you can notice it more in your life. Because as you notice it, it will tend to grow. It's coming back to that mind movie that he says, if whatever you put your attention on will grow. So if you want to focus on a movie of grace, the grace will grow in your life. And in addition to this, if there is an obstacle in your way, calling to the master brings him or her front and center as you keep calm You still yourself and be as peaceful as possible. You will most assuredly hear them speak to you, or you will receive revelation as to the removal of the obstacle very clearly if you have a sincere heart and it is your desire to be consistent in your divine plan fulfillment and keep your energy fields harmonious. The victory of the ascension constitutes the assistance of an ascended master to bring you into the Christed consciousness. Archangels, of course, can do this too, for they are also ascended masters. And they can help you to first raise your consciousness so that you can apply the teachings in a way that complements your pace and your true heart's desires. Masters can only fully work with those who have a sincere heart. For if you do not have full sincerity within your heart, then it only allows them to partially assist. For they always have the desire to sincerely assist. There is no other way for them to be other than sincere. For they are God-perfected beings, and a God-being is a being of truth, and truth is always its own defense. And this is the most sincere one can get. And he's also, G is pointing me to another page in volume 4. And there is something he'd like me to read from it. It's an excerpt from volume 4 on Ascended Master Instruction. And if you have the book, you're welcome to read along or just enjoy the listen. Try to have your students understand that the very fact of sincerity seeking the light of God, if sought with sufficient sincerity and intensity, will cause all problems of the outer to be quickly and normally solved. If individuals finding themselves confronted by problems would say, "Do you have your journals ready? Mighty God, in whom I recognize and feel thy full power of action, thou mighty I Am Presence, solve this problem and do it quickly." And then calmly enter into the stillness, the silence of that mighty I Am Presence. They would find and soon feel the peace, certainty, and relief from what they feel to be a necessary struggle in the outer to solve the problem. He's also reminding me of the technology that seems to be a problem for me these days. And I do something, I don't know how unique it is, but it's just something that I do that I've been drawn to do because it's something that's really simple and it's really effective for me to keep something in the forefront of my consciousness. Those little posty sticky notes. What I do is I write little affirmations down like, peace, be still. There is only God in action in me right now. Energy is not personal, things like that. And I stick them on my computer. I stick them around my desk so that I know when it seems like the computer is slowing down or something's not working, I just go, okay, it's okay. Just let it go. And then I make a call to the presence and I say, I do ask them to blaze the sacred fire love, whatever sacred fire love they know is necessary to resolve any issues with my computer and help it to perfect its processes. So those are the kind of little spontaneous calls that I make. And as soon as I do that, the browser loads and there's no problem. Whatever I was doing, the program loads and every issue is out of the way. But it really is a matter of keeping yourself very peaceful. The call does compel the answer, but the answer has to be able to come through you. You have to remember that you are God directing the energy and you're dealing with a force at all times. So you're not really dealing with persons, places and things. From a higher perspective, you're just dealing with energy. And if you could see everything just from an energetic perspective where we're all connected in oneness and the appearance of separation is just the appearance, then you could actually see these areas of force and energy and where you could direct that energy to go. But it only comes through you if you're peaceful and you're doing it, with a sincere heart. It has to be, you know, the right things for the right reasons. So, and G asks for those of you listening, if you desire to contemplate that, what motivates you to do what you do? And be detached from the outcomes. You know, when I make the calls, I say, you know, go forth and do this. You know, if, and I know that it's in alignment with my divine plan. I know that if it's not in alignment, I'm going to get a message that it's not in alignment and for me to redirect the energy. So you'll know, and you can just ask your presence for that. But keeping yourself still and peaceful is so important when you're making calls. And another really good tool that he's just reminded me of recently, and those of you who are familiar with the chart of the I Am Presence, you may want to have a look at that. And it's the upper figure in the chart, the electronic body of the presence, where the white rays are coming out through the rings, the colored rings of the causal body. They say to, and this is in one of the later volumes, I think it's in volume 19, where it says, get into the habit of seeing the light rays from your presence go forth to fulfill your calls. And this is a really important aspect of alchemy. When you're peaceful and you're making calls, if you can visualize the call done, another way to do it is to also see the rays from your mighty I Am presence going forth through you or to that situation, however it feels most appropriate for you, because it'll probably just be quite natural for you to do that, however it happens. And you just send it into that, whatever it is, the condition or situation, and see it fulfilled. And it becomes very clear. It becomes very quick. And things resolve very, very quickly. And I have found this to be true in my experience. So G says experiment with that. And if you want to talk to him about that, you can, of course, you're always welcome to ask him to help you with precipitation and alchemy and fulfilling your calls. He's more than happy to help anyone who really has the true desire to do this work and align with their presence. So if you're feeling inclined, don't be shy. Just ask him to help you with whatever you want to work on. And I'm continuing on page 177. It is the feeling of struggle in the outer self that really causes the struggle. To pour forth that mighty love and devotion to God, always omnipresent, should, without effort, bring complete relief from all anxiety. To seek God to seek God merely to solve a problem but partially opens the door. But to seek God, the mighty I Am presence, with true sincerity and devotion for the light of God, would quickly cause all outer problems to be solved in peace and harmony, according to the recognition of the mighty I Am presence in action. And I think that this is just so important, because this is what I was talking about as far as true sincerity goes. A sincere heart, you know, having that deep sincerity that it contains devotion within it. There's devotion there to want to know who you really are. And this is part of the path that the students come on. They start learning about the truth. And a lot of times, students, they're interested in this work and in this path because they start to recognize that what's around them is really, like, this is all there is? No, there's got to be more than this. At least in my experience, it was like that. I know that so many of you have so many different experiences with this kind of thing and your awakenings, and where each of us has an individual experience of our awakening point. But this is a really profound point, because when we discover that there's more, somewhere, some way along the way, we discover that there's more than us, there's more than what's around us, and there's more than what's, quote, out there. And there's more, there's a beyond. And we get interested in what's beyond. And that brings us to seek the truth. And the truth is, we're just trying to find who we really are. And so when you invest your heart in God and all of God life, you step into oneness rather quickly. Even if you are still awakening to higher levels of that self, capital S, realization. The masters take notice of your heart's intent first. And then they watch closely to see if you will honor that still small voice, the God flame of your own life as it speaks to you. They enter your life when you are ready, ready to listen. It is said that the teacher appears when the student is ready. And this is one such way to see the fulfillment of this activity. Once the student begins listening, the masters appear in the student's aura. The student can feel a presence of a higher being with them, and they tend to think at first it may be an angel. This is one of the first attempts at contact through the angelic helpers. When the student feels safe with the angel presence, they often begin to develop a relationship with the angel they are feeling. This leads to communication with the angels, and the student begins accepting help from the angels, and this is how the student begins building trust with their guardian helpers. Later, when the student has become more aware of his invisible helpers, he is able to accept the idea of more than angels upon his path, and that opens the door to communication from other light beings as well. However, the student is always welcome at any time to contact the masters or other cosmic beings. The student is in no way, shape, or form ever limited at any time from contacting any divine being of light, for these are but only perfected individual expressions of the one God we all are, and they are here to help show us the way out of the stories that we have created and live life the way it is intended, in true love, joy, peace, and freedom to create as God desires from the heart of each of its own flame within each of us, because they have all been where we are, and they most certainly know all of the pitfalls of the human self. Again, they never judge any of us, not a single one of us, no matter what we may think about it. Our thoughts do not change the truth of the masters and how they behave, for they have risen out of the human consciousness and perfected their beings. And they have come forth to offer us their help and assistance to be as they are, to live the true life, life eternal, for this is the natural way of life. In their realm, death is unnatural and is but a transition that can most certainly be bypassed if one is staunch, persistent, and consistent on their path. Just thinking of any light being, be it an angel, master, cosmic being, instantly connects you to them. And then they have your attention. And then you have their attention. And then both your hearts can communicate. The master knows your heart, knows your desires, but can also see the potential you may have to make a mistake, and will show you most compassionately, kindly, and lovingly the opportunity to correct those mistakes if you but allow them to help you examine your outer self and where you sense you can improve. You can always ask them too, where in my life can I use a boost? Where can I improve? Or how can I do better? Take note. Ask and you will receive, but be open to receive. Be willing to be out of the way enough to receive the truth. This constitutes, again, having a sincere heart, being willing to look deeper and further into the areas of your life that could most certainly use adjustment and help align you to your presence if you allow the master to assist you. The master will work with you every step of the way if you are sincere. So have your journal and pen or pencil handy to take notes, because once you ask, you will most certainly receive. These gifts of revelation that come forth when you are in contemplation with the Master are beyond compare what you might even read on your own from a book. For through this revelation comes what is known as personal instruction from an ascended master. This is the tutelage that comes forth as you progress on your path with being consistent and diligent in your activities. He's prompting me to read from the book again, and this one is on page 67, volume 4, Ascended Master Instruction, page 67. If you have the book, you're welcome to read along. Students often say in their application of the law, "Oh, it didn't work." I say to you that it is absolutely impossible for it not to work, unless in some manner you have given power to the outer appearance. The unfortunate thing with students is sometimes the failure to notice the small manifestations of that great presence. As we are ever moving from the smaller to the greater, how can we receive the greater if we are not giving recognition to the smaller? I assure you, all of God's activity moves forward in a perfectly logical manner. The more recognition we give to small manifestations, the quicker we will receive the greater. For instance, in the outer world of education, if the child did not learn its letters and how to combine them, how would it ever in the world become able to form words? There is a quality within the personal self that sometimes causes it to want to pass over the smaller things as of no value and, to use a modern phrase, grab off the greater. However, there is not the slightest difference in the activity of the mighty law, whether it be a great or a small, in its accomplishment, if the student is sufficiently aware of the mighty I Am presence acting. The student who needs, or thinks he does, some manifestation of the presence to give him faith in accomplishing the greater will find great benefit in meditating upon this humble endeavor to make clear the way. The moment a demand for a thing comes, it shows that it is forthcoming. So, again, the call compels the answer. If you go in and ask the presence to show you, like G was just saying a little while ago, to show you your most recent moments of grace, where are you or have you been most graceful? How is your life? How are things showing up for you that is in alignment with grace? And how can you bring more of that in? So you can get still and you can ask your presence for the revelation of the small manifestations that you have experienced lately that maybe you have missed. And I don't think anyone is really trying to intentionally overlook things. I feel that each of us are striving for the highest good in every case. So if we tend to be going fast because we're working really hard, that's not a bad thing. But we can tend to miss things if we are going too fast too often. So it's okay to be in the flow and be going at a quick pace. But he's reminding us to bring balance in and to notice and to, you know, when you have that sense of gratitude that it's, you know, it's my God self-acting. It's not anything else. This is constructive activity. I have constructive, true, and right desire in my heart, and everything is flowing perfectly. And when you acknowledge that, it actually brings more grace and more accomplishment quickly, and you start noticing that sense of accomplishment. It gives you a sense of victory, and that's what we're all looking for. We're looking for the victory in life. And the victory is our freedom, and we become more free as we anchor this peace and keep flowing with grace. But we also need to acknowledge it. So this is kind of one of the things that he's pointing out. And this brings me to some of my work with him. I want to take about a 2-minute intermission for just so I can sip my tea and take a breather and tune in a little bit more and see where he wants me to go. I still have a lot of material here, and he always gives me so much. So I'd like to share this one song. It's about 8 minutes long, but we're not going to do the whole 8 minutes. We don't have time for that. It's a beautiful, beautiful song by Donna DeLory, and it's a devotional to Hare Krishna. And I fell in love with it as soon as I heard it just recently on a Oneness Om meditation. And I'd like to share at least some of it, maybe 3 minutes of it, if we can do that. That would be great. And we'll be back in 3 minutes.
Krishna.
That piece again, that's a Hare Krishna by Donna DeLory, and you can find it on Amazon.com. That's where I purchased mine. She probably does have a website, so it's Donna DeLory, and it's such a beautiful piece. And it, like I said, it's over 8 minutes long, and very worth checking out. I'm going to come back to what we were talking about, which is the heart of a master and the heart of a chela. So we're going to go into, you've heard some of what the heart of the masters are like through some of these understandings that G has given me. And we're going to go into the heart of the chela now. And we're going into also, he's going to point out some differences, not a whole lot of difference between the student and the chela, but there is, of course, certainly a little bit of confusion every now and then amongst the students. And they ask, what is a chela and what is a student, and, you know, how do they differ? So I have my own understandings, and I know that there are some formal understandings, but these are the understandings that G has given me to share with you today on students and chelas. And in the first place, he gave me a couple things on this. So, okay, on a sincere heart. So a sincere heart, consistency in application and uninterrupted harmony sets the distance, only the distance, between the student and the chela on the path. A student is working with the learning of the truth and has set out to anchor his sincere heart in his quest. In this learning, he needs to unlearn all he thinks he knows and come home to his true self. A chela has gone through this process and has unlearned the knowledge of the unreality and come home to the true reality of his real self, his true nature, God. In such a way, this individual chooses discipleship, or the path of discipline, whereby he continues forward to eventually conquer his entire outer self and win the victory of his ascension into the light. A student may take as long as they take to come home to the truth of who they are. They always have every opportunity of embracing the route that goes directly up the mountain, or the scenic route that winds up a bit, enjoying nature and everything that goes along that route along the way. The masters, however, suggest a path that constitutes your trek up the mountain be not impeded by the stress of the climb, but to balance it with the joys of the heights you attain wherever you may find yourself on the mountain. As well, the student becomes a chela after they merit a certain height of the climb. Where that is for any student remains to be seen by the student and master alone. The chela has been a student first and has chosen the path of the application of the laws of truth. A student may or may not choose this path, yet all of these words, chela and student, they are just ways to communicate our path choices and our desires to further our progress on the path. Many students progress and become chelas naturally, and many chelas naturally progress to become messengers of light. In truth, there is not one individual on this earth who could not have a sincere heart and not succeed on the path of light. For the sincere heart also has to do with the divine will. And once you align with the divine will, this means whatever your own presence has in mind for the victorious fulfillment of its portion of the great divine plan, which is still the unfolding mystery, which it has individualized itself from the very heart of God to do through you. And the Master El Moria steps in when he sees your heart is sincere, yet knows you have yet to align yourself rightly with the divine will. And sometimes this is just because there is such a great momentum of misqualified energy that the individual has acted upon that it takes time to unwind this karma. And this energy keeps coming back to him as he aligns his sincere heart with the will of the divine. The master, however, knowing this is a great pitfall for the human consciousness to trip and fall over many times, will take on whatever remaining karma is there present in the individual to hold the balance for the individual to prove his sincere heart and step into alignment with the divine will to progress on the path of light and attain his mastery with the assistance of the Master. I know we're going into more of the heart of the Master. It's kind of inevitable. the heart of the Master is always present. And I'd really like to go into some of my experiences because I know that you're waiting for that. And here are some of the examples of the way G and I communicate. And it's funny because he just gave me a lesson before I came on the show too. He's talking about time and the now. And I was feeling a little not stressed or tense, but I was feeling like the word that I like to use for this is overwhelmed. Sometimes I feel overwhelmed with all the activity that pours forth that they give me to do. And one of my tasks is to learn how to balance the activities that they give me to do along with the domestic things and the outer world and other activities. That's been a big thing for me. So I don't know how it is for all you out there, but that's how it's been for me. And so this is a lesson for chulas and messengers of light. When you have your activity and these things are flowing and, you know, you're working with the Masters, if you've been working with the Masters, angels, whatever, and you're doing this great work, you have this great work that they've given you to do and bring forth, whether you're writing a book or you're making a film or you're creating sorts of media, you're getting your message out there, you're getting your materials out there, you're getting you're accomplishing the activity that you're being called to do. And sometimes what happens is this feeling of being overwhelmed, I got to have all this to do and, you know, look at the clock and, wow, how am I going to do this? And I've got to go see this one and that one and I've got all these appointments and blah, 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 blah. So it can get kind of, you know, a little bit, it can feel kind of hectic. That's the feeling of time. And that's that, you know, artificial, created, man-made, you know, sense of things have to be done and there's only a certain amount of time to do it. Well, you know, here's a newsflash. God has no deadline. God is eternal life. And this is a nice big reminder for me today. So I thought I'd share that with you all, and you wanted me to share it with you too, because I think it's helpful for you to understand my experiences too, so that you can know that if you're having these experiences and, you know, you're working with the Masters and or whatever work that you're doing with your God work, your divine plan, that you're not alone if you're feeling that way. So, and they are aware of how we feel. They are aware of the tasks at hand. And what we need to do is just, as soon as we feel that sense of being overwhelmed, and just come into the present moment. What I did was I was in the middle of my application and I felt this sense of, wow, I need to get on and I need to send music in and I need to do this. And, you know, there were all these things and I'm going, okay, I know I'm conscious of my divine plan. I'm conscious of what needs to be done, but I wasn't really being present with my application. And I'm very heart-centered in my application. I like to do it with all my heart. I like to be really in it and give my love and gratitude to all the beings. And I didn't feel comfortable doing it while I was feeling that sense of have to do this, have to do that. So I just stopped my application and I just said, you know, beloved presence, show me, you know, reveal to me the truth of what I'm feeling. What is this feeling? Because I don't feel, you know, completely comfortable doing this. And I immediately got it. It's, you know, well, it's you're attached to time. You know, you need to detach from the drama of time and come into the now because it's just now. And it was just a simple reminder, yet, you know, we can sometimes get caught up in our activities that we actually forget to be in the present moment because there's all this other dialogue going, okay, need to do this, need to do that. What we need to do is detach from that and just become still and be present and be here now. So that's one of the lessons he wanted me to share with you. I hope you enjoyed that. And I thank you, G, for that wonderful reminder. And we just have, I think, just under 10 minutes, so I'm going to share just a couple of more examples of how we communicate. And another example is, I will think when contemplating something, and I'll recognize that G has been helping me behind the scenes. And I'll just think about that, and I'll go, wow. And I'll just, all of a sudden, I'll have this feeling like, you know, I know G's involved. I know G has a hand in this. I know he does. I'll see a visual. I'll see this thought form of this kind of silly-looking, inflated, similar-looking to the hamburger helper hand. You know, this funny thing with the smiley face on it. But it's bigger, and it seems inflated, but it isn't. It's all really quite funny. It's this big white hand that kind of comes into the forefront of my consciousness like, I'm here. I am here. You know, his famous slogan. So that's one of the things. And I tend to laugh. I tend to just laugh out loud. No matter where I am, I think about that. And that's another thing. I have open dialogue with masters no matter where I am. And, you know, when I'm in the car, I sometimes forget that I can safely speak aloud to G and the other masters with me in the car. And though, you know, I know no one else can really see them. Well, I don't know who can see them, but when I wait for another car to pass until I speak again, I'm reminded that I can speak aloud because of the hands-free cell phone device that most people use in their cars now. So I wind up laughing at myself for forgetting that. And then I go, okay, whoever's around me to see my outburst thinks I'm on the phone. It's really cute. The way I'm reminded of things and the way I just forget things. Oh yeah, that's right. I can do that. And in addition to that, I've become very confident in this, that I walk down the street now doing decrees and doing calls and talking to the masters, and I never get a second glance. I wave to people and they wave back, and it's really cute. And he's given me this, it's kind of like a telepathic vision, where we can kind of liken it to the television. So here's another television example. And I was sharing this the other day on the phone with a really wonderful friend, and she got a real kick out of this. And I said, you know, I think I'm going to share this. I think maybe. So I tuned in, and sure enough, this is a great way to consider what the violet flame does. And the way G communicates with me is, so many times it's thought form. It's a lot of thought form with emotion. So, you know, I can see something clearly and feel joy from that. And so he made mention, he gave me the thought form of the violet flame. It's kind of like a washing machine and a dryer set for misused energy. When energy gets soiled, so to speak, use the violet flame on it, put it in the violet flame to have it cleansed and purified, and then put it in the dryer to increase its perfection. And when you open the dryer, the energy is transformed back to love, and the fragrance that comes forth out of the dryer is of roses or something floral and sweet. And that's really cute. I'm going to share one more experience, and then I'm going to start wrapping up for this segment. So another example the other day, and this is the big one. I was asking for an outward sign of something. And I was contemplating something very deeply the other day. And I asked him, I asked G, to specifically give me a big sign that I was on track in relation to my contemplation about my path. And I wanted him to make it especially clear for me to recognize that he is working with me on my divine plan and that all is in divine order. Well, not long after this, I love the way he does this, the ice cream truck came around. And it usually has a standard set of jingles that are common tunes for an ice cream truck, you know, much like the nursery rhyme songs and things of that nature. Well, the tunes were different this day, I noticed. And they were songs that G has shared with me in the different poems that he's inspired through me to write and that he also responded to musically. They were the same notes. And he reminded me in a very outward type way that he is certainly with me every step of the way, and how much he is invested in me to answer me in such a direct way. It says a lot about his heart. And how this beloved, how the these all of these beloved masters, they take the time out, and not that their realm has any time, but that's besides the point. When you bond with a master, there is no other relationship like it. And on this note, I think I'm going to wrap up. I did have a lot more to share about divine will and being how this aligns for the student and Sheila to be consistent in their application. And it also brings us to a point of uninterrupted harmony, and the uninterrupted harmony being that happiness is a powerful alchemy, and along with the raising of the atomic structure as a result. And these are some of the things that I think he's going to want me to go into deeper. So I'm going to continue next week with some of that. So have a wonderful, beautiful week. And I will see you next week on Sunday at 1 p.m. And Anthony will be co-hosting with me next week. So hopefully you'll all tune in and to hear what we have in store for you. Okay, thank you so much. Thank you all for listening. And I'll see you next week.